Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
He's a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
And welcome. So great to have you along with us today. Jot that number down because you may want to call in the next hour, especially if you're a mom or a dad and you are struggling with your parenting role. And I know there are a lot of parents listening right now who are feeling kind of at their wit's end, especially if they have little ones like we do. There are days where my wife would like to just pack up, leave me with the kids, and take off for the south of France. Fortunately, she has not done that. At least yet. But we're going to be talking to Kathy Lipp, who is a mom and an author, a speaker, who's written a great new book. I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. I love that title. She'll be joining us here in just a few minutes on Faith Radio, so stick with us. And again, we'd love to get your phone calls today. I found a couple of youth culture stories in the news this week that I really wanted to pass along to you because, especially if you have teenagers, these are some things you need to know, moms and dads. Is there a link between smoking pot and dropping out of school? Well, it sure looks that way. New research out, teenagers who smoke marijuana every day are 60% less likely to finish high school. And those kids that use pot that are under age 17 and smoke a lot of it, 60% less likely to finish college. Scientists in Australia and New Zealand did this major study. They followed 4,000 students from age 13 to age 30, and they looked at their development, and they said they found a very clear link between the frequency of marijuana use and a whole bunch of negative outcomes. In fact, the researchers say the risks that go along with smoking marijuana increase significantly depending on how much pot kids are using. Kids who never used marijuana, they were the most likely to finish high school. But those who smoked even low levels of it once a month, just one time a month, were prone to a whole slew of negative outcomes, including not finishing school. And because of this, Edward Salinas, who is the co-author of this study, believes that there is no amount of marijuana use that can be considered safe for teenagers. Did you hear that, Mom and Dad? No amount of marijuana use that can be considered safe for teens. And isn't that tragic? With so many states now legalizing marijuana and the pro-marijuana folks just pushing it and saying, you know, there's no negative health effects and it's safer than alcohol and no big deal and it's you know, used for medical purposes and on and on and on. Here's something that's really scary. Teens who smoke marijuana every day, they are 7 times more likely to attempt suicide. 7 times more likely to kill themselves. And they're 8 times more likely to use harder drugs at some point in their lives. And here's what's really sad. Even a lot of Christian kids who, you know, they have bought into this lie that using marijuana is perfectly safe. They may even think, you know, God doesn't have a problem with it. I heard from one couple, they said that their teenage son has become this marijuana advocate. I think he's 19 years old. And they're a Christian family. And this kid, you know, says he's a believer. But he's justifying his marijuana use because there's a verse in the Old Testament where God says he has blessed every herb of the earth. And so this young man says, hey, God's just fine with me smoking pot. Well, I'm sorry, That's just not true. 1 Peter 4:7 tells us to be clear-minded and self-controlled. Let me repeat that. Be clear-minded and self-controlled. Okay, we know that marijuana clouds your mind, and you're not in control when you're under the influence. So please, please, Mom and Dad, if you have kids who are experimenting with marijuana, don't take it lightly. Just because states are legalizing it, just because the media seems to be in favor of it. This is not a safe drug. And in fact, if you know somebody, if you know a young person or even an adult who has problems with marijuana addiction, and yes, I did use the word addiction, you can find some help at Partnership for Drug-Free Kids. Partnership for Drug-Free Kids has some great information. The website is drugfree.org. Here's something else I found in the news this week. And if you have teenage daughters, my goodness, you need to know about this. Could that photo that your daughter posted on Facebook hurt her future job prospects? Well, it could if it's too sexy. New study out has found that girls and young women who post sexy social media photos are considered less competent. But get this, it was other women who felt that way about them. And oftentimes it is a woman who will be hiring them, will be the CEO of the company, or will be the manager that will be looking at their resume. And guess what? They're looking online. They're looking at their Facebook page. This new study was conducted by researchers at Oregon State University, and Eileen Zurbriggen is the lead researcher, and she says the result of all this just might be unemployment. Dr. Zurbriggen says even 20 years ago, a woman could act and dress sexy in college, but then put on a suit when she graduated and go on job interviews. Now, those sexualized photographs she posted to Instagram or Facebook are hard to erase and may impact her employability. So, Mom and Dad, if you have a teen daughter at home, or frankly, if you're listening and you're a young woman who is doing this, be aware. It may very well hurt your ability of getting employed by some companies, especially companies that want to have, you know, maintain a very professional attitude, or have, you know, strong ethical beliefs. And certainly Christian organizations, my gracious. So don't be putting that stuff online. Don't be taking those pictures in the first place. One more thing to tell you about, and this one has to do with alcohol. Boy, it sounds like I'm really full of bad news today. But you know what? You need to know this stuff if you're a parent. If you work with youth, maybe you're a youth minister. Maybe you're an educator. Perhaps you're a physician or a nurse and you see young people. New research on booze, and it shows that underage drinkers are more likely to choose alcohol brands that have been advertised on the TV shows they watch. It's monkey see, monkey do. Researchers at Boston University and Johns Hopkins, they looked at how alcohol advertising on 20 different shows, and there's a lot of it. You know, it's called product placement, and of course the ads that they run during those shows, that the alcohol that was showed on screen affected the drinking decisions of teens between the ages of 13 and 20. They found that underage drinkers were three times more likely to consume the brands they'd seen advertised on the programs they watch. Craig Ross at Boston University says this: as alcohol continues to devastate so many young lives, youth exposure to alcohol advertising should be reduced. You can find out more about that story at PluggedIn.com, my friends at Focus on the Family's youth culture website. Well, okay, so I know that was a lot of bad news, but again, I think it's important for us to know these things as parents. My kids are 11, 9, and 7, and my son just entered middle school. And by the way, middle school is the first time that kids, there are actually drugs available, and most kids can tell you who has the drugs on campus, you know, where they can get them. So when they move from elementary school to middle school, it's a whole new ball game. So anyway, some things for you to know about. And if you have a question for us this week on marriage or parenting or child development, youth culture, the intersection of our Christian faith and our culture today, feel free to write to me. You can go to our webpage, myfaithradio.com. Just look for my show page, the Dr. Bill Meyer Live show page. There's a contact link there. We're going to take a break, and coming up, we're going to be talking to Kathy Lipp, who has written a great new book for moms. I need some help here. Hope for when your kids don't go according to plan. That's coming up next on the Faith Radio Network.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer Live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
If you want to join the conversation, our number is 1-877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH, and you can call us this hour if you've got any questions for us, for me, or for my guests. We would love to hear from you. And my guest today is Kathy Lipp. She is an author and a conference speaker and a retreat speaker. She wrote Praying God's Word for Your Husband and Praying God's Word for Your Life, two marvelous books. She's been a guest on a variety of national radio programs, including Focus on the Family, my old stomping grounds. Kathy and her husband have four kids and live in California, and today she joins us to talk about her brand new book, I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. Kathy, welcome to Faith Radio.
Good morning, Dr. Bill. How are you?
I am so great. I just appreciate you taking an hour out of your Saturday, your weekend, to join us here. And you have some great advice for moms in your new book. And I want to invite any moms or even dads who are listening today to call in with any questions they might have. Before we dive into the book, can you tell us a bit about your own family and maybe about what led you to becoming an author and a speaker?
Sure. Well, we are a blended family. We have two kids each, so a total of four. And we got married when all the kids were teenagers. We had from 13 to 17. So we look back at that and think, what were we thinking? But we're glad that we didn't have too much information, because we are really grateful for the family we have, even though there's a lot of information in this book that tells you it's not been an easy road. And, you know, I started out just talking to women at MOPS groups and sharing my heart, and I realized when I tried to tell women how to live life and do it really well, I didn't get a great response. But when I kind of shared some of the problems I'd had and some of the ways that God met me in those problems, women really responded. And that's how I started speaking and eventually started writing books. And you know, that holds true today. I try to, you know, have a lot of hope, a few how-tos, and some humor to help us get through, you know, this thing called life and parenting. Let's be clear. You need a lot of humor when it comes to parenting.
Boy, there's no doubt about that. This morning we had a little drama in my house with my 9-year-old, and it was over the silliest thing. We're going to a Christian concert tonight, and my wife wants to go, and my 11-year-old wants to go, my 7-year-old wants to go. My 9-year-old does not like to sit. She is Miss Active. We reminded her that last night she got to go to a church activity where there were all kinds of jumpy houses and diving into pits of foam balls and, you know, all the things she loves to do. And my wife, you know, took the drive and took her for this 2-hour activity. And so tonight,
wait, and your wife didn't want to jump into the balls of pit, you know, pit balls and all that kind of, that wasn't what your wife wanted to do at that exact moment? I'm shocked.
I tried to point that out to her, that mom did that. In fact, mom fought traffic for an hour to get there. But somehow my daughter doesn't seem to understand that last night was for her and tonight might be for mom. So we are working on that in our family. And by the way,
you know, it's a lifelong conversation, isn't it?
Well, it is. And what you said a minute ago, I think, is really true. I you know, I'm a family psychologist, but I certainly don't get it right. I make lots of mistakes, and I'm more than happy to share those, even though sometimes they're somewhat embarrassing, because I have not done it perfectly. And, you know, you'd think that I got married later in life, Kathy. I got married when I was 40. And so, you know, and I had my kids, started off having my kids in my early 40s, And at the time, I was under this delusion that, well, I'm, you know, a little older and more mature, and boy,
right.
I'll be able to do it much better than if I had my kids in my 20s. Well, I've since learned how immature I really am. So,
yes. There you go. You know what? It's good information to have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, we look at other people's kids, at least I did, and, you know, my first child was not the hardest child in the world. He was kind of cuddly and snuggly, and I'd see these women with wild children, and I think, can't you get a hold of that child? Well, then I had my daughter, who, you know, when you look up strong-willed, there's her picture, and,
yes.
You know, and I realized, you know, each of these kids just comes with their own unique personality, their own free will. And none of us are born being parents. Some of us seem like we are, but we all have to learn this on our own. We all have to do the hard work on our own.
Now, you actually say in your book, there was a time in your life you really felt like a bad mom. What led you to those feelings, and what happened that changed your perspective or your perception of yourself?
Okay, it was a Tuesday. I mean, that's how I felt for so many years, was like a bad mom, because I remember seeing, you know, and I think Facebook has contributed so much to this, and don't get me wrong, I love me some Facebook, but, you know, we only post the good things about our kids on Facebook, you know, the medals, the awards, the accomplishments, and I've got four pretty terrific kids who are all in their own stages of development and doing what they're supposed to be doing. But I was not posting every single week an accomplishment that was going on in our house. And I remember feeling like, and I was at a very low point with one of my kids, where everything we were trying, every counselor we saw, it just was not going according to plan. And I finally got honest with one of my friends, and I knew she had two perfect kids, so I knew she wouldn't understand, but I also knew I needed to speak with somebody. And so I got real honest with Sherry, and she said, Kathy, I'm so glad you said something, because, you know, my daughter is going through some similar stuff. And then we started talking to another friend, Susie, who we both knew had perfect kids. Well, she has one kid who, you know, he's in the military, he's graduated college in less than 4 years, but her daughter was running off the rails as well. And so when we finally started talking to each other, and we realized we all felt like bad moms at the same time, and don't you love it when God gives you people in your pit with you, you know, so you're not alone there. And so we called ourselves the Bad Moms Club, because that's how we felt about ourselves.
I'm sorry. But we're meeting at Starbucks at 10, the Bad Moms Club. Oh, my gracious.
But you know what? It's given us, it's been revolutionary for us, because we've been able to talk about these things, and our motto is the Bad Moms Club. We have better snacks than the good moms. And we sit down, we talk, we don't offer advice unless it's asked for, but we pray for each other's kids. And I love these kids more than I did the day we started, because I've been praying for Sherry's kids and Susie's kids and loving on them and praying for their moms. And we've seen real change in these kids' lives because we've got other people praying and supporting and loving on each other. But the big difference is the change in us, our lives as moms, because we don't go around feeling guilty anymore. We realize that sometimes our kids have issues, and that doesn't necessarily mean we're a bad mom, but it does mean that we can ask for help.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. And, of course, that's what the Christian life is really all about. It's confessing our faults to one another, bearing one another's burdens, encouraging one another. We just don't do that very well in the church. And I think
right.
if we did that better, we'd have a lot less problems. We certainly have a lot less depression and anxiety and other problems. And I'm so glad to hear you say that, because you're doing exactly what Christian community is all about. At the same time, I think you would probably agree, and maybe you say this in the book, that you don't want to just wallow in that, because if you just say, okay, I throw up my hands in the air, I realize I'm not perfect, and which you need to start with, you need to be repentant, you need to say, you know, I've got issues. But some moms just stay in that place, and they never come out of it.
Well, and, you know, that's exactly the opposite of what we do in our Little Bad Moms Club, because we spur each other on to those hard conversations. You know, those conversations we need to have with our kids, those boundaries that need to be set. And sometimes when you're doing it in isolation, it's easy to put things off because it's an uncomfortable conversation, or I already know how my kid's going to respond, so I'm not even going to bring it up. But in our little club where we say, hey, this is the conversation I need to have, I need somebody to hold me accountable for having it. Mm-hmm. And so we do not stay stuck where we're at. And, you know, we're dealing with adult children as well as kids who are younger. And, you know, I thought once these kids were 18, woohoo, I'm on my way out. You know, I can, and, you know, their problems, my kids didn't go away at 18, which I'm really, really grateful for, but neither did their problems. And so, you know, we stay in those tough conversations. We continue to work with boundaries and love and support. And that's where these bad moms come in, because what we do is we say, okay, today's a bad day, but I can take some steps with God's help and with accountability to change the situation.
Wow, great advice. By the way, Kathy, would you be open to taking some calls from some moms or even some dads? Great. Let's do that. If you have a question for Kathy, if you're going through the thick of it with a child right now, regardless of the age of the child, even an adult child, feel free to give us a call. 877-93-FAITH is the phone number, and my great producer, Aaron, will be glad to talk to you. 877-93-FAITH. If you have a question for Kathy Lipp, the author of I Need Some Help Here. One of the things, Kathy, you say in your book, and we've just got about 2 minutes before a hard break here, but you say, don't create a plan for your child's life, because that is dangerous.
Well, I think that we can have so many disappointments when we have unrealistic expectations. How can you have a plan for your kid's life when you don't know what God's plan is for your child's life? And, you know, we have to stay responsive to the Holy Spirit. When we see things happening in our kids' life, we need to be praying, we need to be asking questions, and we need to be supporting. But so many parents say, you know, I wanted my child to grow up to be an engineer. I don't even know how a parent can say that, because how would you even know that that's what your child's gifts and talents are? So I think that it's more important to say, my expectations need to be on myself and my relationship with God, so that I can be praying for my child, supporting my child, and knowing the deepest part of their heart.
You know, there's that whole free will thing gets really confusing, because when our kids are young, we do have a great deal of control over their lives and their choices.
Right.
But as they get, and my 11-year-old just started middle school, and unfortunately we have the teenage angst going on way too soon. And I'm going to ask you about that after the break, because I have been, and you know, again, I'm a child psychologist, but I'm starting to believe that because our culture has been just moving at warp speed, and there are so many influences, I'm beginning to think that even preteens now, even kids at 10, 11, or 12, are dealing with things they never would have dealt with, you know, when I was growing up, certainly. And we'll dive into that here in just a bit. We're going to take a break here, Kathy, but if you'd like a copy of Kathy's book, we're going to have a drawing at the end of the hour. And if you give us a buzz and give us your contact info at 877-93-FAITH, we'll put you into that drawing for a copy of I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. Again, 877-93-FAITH is the number. Our website, myfaithradio.com. And, I should give you Kathy's website, too. It's Kathy Lipp. Now, she spells her name KathiLipp.com.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
Welcome back. I want to say thank you to all the wonderful folks who made a gift to Faith Radio during our fall share event, which is about a week ago. We just are so grateful to all of the friends who came through for us. We have about a $900,000 annual need to keep Faith Radio on the air in all the different markets that we're on, wherever you might be listening today. We don't play commercials on Faith Radio, and so we depend on your support. And if you weren't able to join us for the share event, maybe you could prayerfully consider making a gift sometime this coming week. You know, God, of course, wants us to give to our church first, but then if he has blessed us, with you know, maybe some extra income, or if we just feel really led to give sacrificially. Faith Radio is a great cause, and if you have never really joined us during the week, Monday through Friday, and heard some of the incredible Bible teaching that we have on this network, you need to do it, because you will grow in your faith, I guarantee you. And of course, our wonderful live programs, Austin Hill in the morning, Neil Statham at noon, Susie Larson in the afternoon at 3, three good friends of mine who just put together some wonderful programs. So find out all the information at myfaithradio.com, myfaithradio.com. And if you click on donate, you can learn more about making an either a one-time gift or an ongoing monthly gift, a pledge to the Faith Radio Network. My guest today is Kathy Lipp. She is the author of I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. Notice she said, not hope for when your life doesn't go according to plan, hope for when your kids don't go according to plan. And often they don't go according to plan. And we were getting into that whole free will thing, and there comes a point in childhood when your child kind of moves from you know, that they're under your control and you kind of make their decisions for them, to they start asserting themselves and it starts to change for moms and dads. You know, and I mentioned we're dealing with this junior high stuff, this middle school stuff with our son just entering sixth grade. Have you seen, Kathy, and as you talk to other moms, are you seeing this whole teenage angst stuff starting earlier and earlier?
Oh, my goodness, yes. And I think there's a variety of reasons. I think what you said about the media being, you know, so influential. You know, we look at how, even if we're protective at home, our kids are at school. And, you know, the media is influencing them there as well. And, you know, advertisers know that those little junior hires have some dollars to spend. May not be their dollars, may be their parents' dollars. And so, you know, they want to give them a leg up on being cool and part of the crowd that is doing, you know, what they would like to be doing. And so, you know, I think our kids are under a lot of pressure these days. And, you know, the more sophisticated, I think that they go from that kid stage to that, you know, having to deal with some, you know, more grown up issues much, much earlier. I saw it in my own girls for sure.
How do we deal with that? Because here's what I feel like sometimes. My wife and I look around at all the parents who are buying their kids smartphones at age 10 right. or 11, and they have all the latest gizmos and gadgets. And our son is, you know, lamenting the fact that he's the only one. I'm the only one
right,
without a
right.
smartphone.
I'm the only one in the entire school. Yes.
Yeah. Now, there are, I think, at least three other kids in the student population who don't have smartphones. But especially other Christian parents are,
right.
you know, enabling, and I'll use the word enabling, certainly entitling their kids through giving them all this stuff and not requiring really any work in return.
Right. Right.
How do you, as a mom and dad, you know, we've tried saying, well, in our family, we make, you know, these are the decisions we've made and we're trying to follow God the best way we know how. And that's not really an adequate answer when he's looking around at all of his friends with all their stuff.
Well, I think one thing we do have to say is, you know, we can't as parents be fearful of our children. And I think so many parents are. So many parents know that the right thing to do, and I'm not saying in every situation. You know, we had a child who dealt with some extreme anxiety, and one of the things that really helped him, and it wasn't a smartphone, but it was an emergency phone that he could use to call it. But our other kids, you know, they did not get a phone until they were well into high school, and they earned the money for it. And
right.
I think so many parents are afraid of telling their children no, that they're going to damage their relationship, that they're, you know, that they're going to be seen in a bad light. And I think that we have such a small window where parents can be parents, where we can really have that influence on our kids. And nobody has ever been scarred by not having a cell phone early enough. I can almost guarantee that. And so we need to say, you know, and I love what you say. In our family, this is how we've chosen to do it, because we're trying to follow God's plan the best that we know how. And I think that, you know, as parents, when we make mistakes, we will make mistakes, you know, that we can tell our kids, you know, hey, that was a mistake, and I shouldn't have given you that phone this early, or we need to give you a phone that doesn't have the bells and whistles, the internet plan, those kind of things. And so, you know, I think that there's an opportunity to also band together with other parents and say, you know, our kids are not going to have cell phones, and to hang out with those parents who have similar values to you. So you can say, you know, I know you feel like you're the only one, but look at Claire's parents. You know, we are all trying to do this together. And I think having some other reinforcements there is a beautiful way to go. And I think a lot of parents would love the permission to say no in with some support around them as well.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you said that. I've talked about this before on this program, the importance of having friendships with other Christian parents who share your values and are willing to, you know, be the parent, be the mom and dad that their kids need. Because and the other advantage to that is that then your kids hopefully are playing with their kids and interacting with their kids. And so there's a good influence there rather than the negative influence of a child who is very entitled and is getting, you know, every sort of goodie that mom and dad can bestow on them. By the way, Kathy, I mentioned we are opening up our phone lines to calls, and you talked about adult children earlier, and we actually have a call from Karen who's listening in Brandon, South Dakota. And Karen, what is your question for Kathy Lipp?
Oh, well, thank you. My husband and I raised our children in a Christian home, and we recently found out my adult son was having an extramarital affair.
Been
going, thank you. It's been going on a year, and they told us a month ago. And I've, of course, you tend to want to preach, and I probably have. And, but I've been, you know, bringing up God's word and all, and he, it's like Satan has grabbed him, and he is deceived, and they're going through with the divorce, and they have three little girls, and the decision is now made. So I'm having trouble knowing how to relate. It's just been this week, so it's very fresh.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You're in the thick of it right now. And I'm so sorry. It's so heartbreaking to see our kids making decisions that not only affect their lives, but affect, you know, those three little kids' lives. And so first of all, my heart breaks for you, Karen, because I know you wanted so much better for your son. You know, one of the things that, a couple of things. One is so many of my friends, my contemporaries, were the prodigal child. I spent a little time not making the best decisions, and not in an affair way, but in other areas of my life. And so many of my friends have also wandered away from God, wandered away from his law, and have come back. So I do want to say there is hope for your son. And in these situations, and I was just talking to a friend yesterday about something similar. I said, you know, I think that there is a real opportunity here for you to really love and impart God's love on those three little kids. You know, you can be that loving, accepting, because those kids, you know, this is going to be a really tough time for them, but to have a grandma who loves them unconditionally, who cares for them deeply and prays for them often, you know, what a treasure you will be to those three kids. And so while you may not be able to change anything in your son's life, you may have a great impact on those three kids. And so at this point, and I think that's an opportunity to show your son God's love as you love on those kids, in a real and practical, but also in a Christ-like way.
Kathy, that's great advice. And Karen, I would add, you also have an opportunity to support your daughter-in-law through this. And don't ever feel like just because, you know, well, blood's thicker than water, that I have to, you know, not reach out to my daughter-in-law, because she really could use your love and support right now.
Such a great point.
The decisions that your son's made. Thank you so much for your call, Karen. We will be keeping you in prayer. And Kathy, thanks for that great advice. Yeah, when you have adult kids, oftentimes they have a lot more potential for destructive things than when they're seven. Not that a seven-year-old can't do destructive things. But the fact is, they're still our kids, and we
right.
God still calls us to love them, not to accept destructive, dangerous behavior, not to accept immorality, but to love them nonetheless. And, boy, great advice as far as the grandkids there. Kathy, again, if you've got a question for Kathy Lipp, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 877-93-FAITH. Going to take a quick break here on the Faith Radio Network. And once again, we have three copies of Kathy's book to give away. If you would like a copy, give us a buzz. Give us your contact info. And at the end of the hour, we will have a drawing for three copies of I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. This is the Faith Radio Network. I'm Bill Meyer. We'll be back after this.
Now, back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
Welcome back. We would love to hear from you. Our phone number is 877-93-FAITH. If you have a question for me or for my guest, Kathy Lipp, the author of I Need Some Help Here, 877-93-FAITH is the number. Our website, myfaithradio.com. Kathy, in your book, you have a section on how parents should respond when their child is left out. I don't think there is anything more painful than watching your child be either ostracized or not welcomed into a group, or they say something like, no one wants to be my friend. It's a like a knife through your heart. What do you do?
Well, I have a friend. Her name is Ellen Shutnick, and she is an expert in bullying. And I think that that's the most aggressive form of being left out for most kids. And she gave us some great practical advice about, you know, how to teach your child not to be a victim. Because so often kids who are left out, and, you know, you can be bullied just by being left out. And I think especially with girls, when, you know, those three girls close the circle and don't let your daughter in, those kind of things. And, you know, one thing that some little girls and some little boys feel power just from making other kids feel better or feel worse. And so in order to take that thrill away from them, which really kind of is, you know, it's the only way that those bullies have power, because maybe they don't have power in their own homes or in their own lives. And so they take it out on these kids that they feel that they can victimize. And so Ellen gives some great advice about how to put on a flat face, you know, telling kids, don't let other kids see that it bothers you, because that gives them power, and teaching them not to be a victim and how to appropriately not tattle but tell when something is going on, you know, to be able to speak up for themselves, but when there's a real problem, to talk to a teacher about it. And then also making sure that our kids have outside activities than school. Because so I know for me, I had a few friends at school, but my lifelong friends were at church and were in my swim club. Those are the ones that I'm still in touch with today. You know, half my Facebook friends are from the church I grew up in, and that's where I was loved and accepted. Whereas, you know, at school, maybe I was the weirdo who always had my nose in a book. And so, you know, and that's just who I was. You know, I was a different kid at school than I was at church. But to find the place where your kid has found their people. You know, my son is an introvert, and he loves science fiction. So finally, it took till college for him to find his group of friends. But, you know, they're thick as thieves now, and they love to hang together, and they get each other. Help your kids find the people who get them.
Now, what about if we have a child who legitimately is different? Maybe they have special needs, or maybe they haven't even been diagnosed as a special needs child, but they've got some social skills deficits. When do you feel, as a mom, and I know you've spoken to thousands of moms around the country, when do you feel it's time to get professional help? I'm a big advocate of, if you can find a good family therapist or a good child psychologist that can help your child. But how do you make that decision, in your opinion, from, you know, my child is not quite fitting in, to, no, my child really has some problems here?
Well, I think letting your child's pain kind of gauge that. one of my big regrets in life was waiting until my son was in high school to try to get some diagnoses for him. And come to find out, he's on the Asperger's, scale. And, you know, later in life, he didn't want to be labeled that way and so really resisted any intervention. But when he was a younger child, I had more control, whereas later on what I had was influence. And so I would say, you know, if your child is coming home from school every day defeated and devastated, it's not going to magically cure itself. And I think there's nothing wrong with going to professionals and asking the questions. There's no harm in that. So let's get the information early. Let's get good information. Let's find the people that we need to. And let's support our kids in every conceivable way we can. And to give them the tools to be in those social situations, to give them maybe the groups that they need to be in. You know, the difference between a child growing up now and a child, you know, my son who is 23, the resources are vastly different. There's so much more help available. Go and avail yourself of it.
What about the issue of character? Let's say our child does fine with social skills and has friends, but we are seeing some real character flaws in them. And I hate to use that word because it sounds so cruel, but perhaps we are seeing, even in a younger child, that there are some moral and ethical decisions that they're making that make us cringe. What do we do?
Well, this is maybe not the most popular opinion, but I do feel like so many parents are advocating for their children in the wrong way. They're keeping them from the consequences that they need to be experiencing for those poor choices. When your child cheats at school and you go in there and you're screaming, the homework's too hard or there's just too much going on. We are not letting our kids experience the consequences of their poor choices. And so, I mean, there are many times to advocate for our kids. If our child's being bullied, if our child has some deficiencies that we need to make sure that they have the help they need, absolutely, 100%. But when we are advocating for our kids after they've made poor choices, we need to really examine that and see how much we need to be interfering. So I think that's an important thing for parents to see is our kids need to experience some pain early on so they don't experience what we were talking about later. You know, when our children are adults and they are making poor choices, the ramifications of that are huge. So let's do it when they steal the pencil in class instead of when they're stealing, they're forging documents as an adult. think also when our kids are struggling with character flaws, we need to make sure that we're also pointing out the great things about them and really celebrating that and saying, if there's a situation where they're lacking character, show where they have strong character, how they care for older people or they love animals and they take good care of the animals and really put a spotlight on where they are doing well so that there's not a sense of, I'm just a horrible kid, nobody loves me.
Mm-hmm. You know, this kind of takes us back to something we talked about before the break, and that is we unfortunately have this phenomenon in our culture, which I call pushover parenting. And that's the mom or dad who's, it seems like what's most important to them is being their kid's best buddy, having
right.
their kid like them, not doing anything that would rock the boat. And, advocating their kids to the point where, as you said, they're really enabling them and keeping them from the real life consequences. I when I was working at a clinic in California, in Southern California with low income children, many of whom had some significant problems, I would say to the moms, and we had parenting groups there, and I would say, if you don't parent your 8-year-old now, it's going to be the police and the courts
right.
that are going to be parenting
right.
them later. And the result is not going to be a pleasant one for you. So,
mm-hmm.
Even though you may have a kid who says, you're the meanest mom in the world and you're terrible and I hate you. And you shouldn't allow your kid to say, hey, I hate you. You can say, I'm
right.
angry. But
right.
if that causes you, and especially single moms, and I'm sure you run into this, single moms that don't have a support, they don't have a partner there to back them up, oftentimes it's very, very difficult for them to hold the line with a kid when they're kind of almost looking to that child for their emotional sustenance. And so,
right.
You know, if your 8-year-old daughter is your best buddy and you're confiding in her about your dating problems, it's a big problem, but you're much less likely to enforce rules and have consequences,
right?
Because your best buddy is going to tell you you're a witch, right? So, doesn't feel good.
Well, and you know, I was a single mom, so I understand the let's just not rock the boat. And because, let me just also be clear, as a single mom, I've never been so tired in my life. So when kid issues came up, all I wanted to do was keep the peace. I 100% understand that. But that's why we have to have a support network. That's why you have to have your own version of the Bad Moms Club, and you don't have to call it that, but you need people who can support you and love you and give you advice when you need it. And the other thing we have to remember is that prayer is an absolutely integral part of this parenting thing. We, as parents, let me talk to the single moms out there for a second. We feel like it's 100% up to us all the time. And I had to get to the point where I could trust God enough with my kids to say, God, bring good, strong men into my kids' lives who will teach them what it looks like to be a man of Christ. And, you know, my kids have my husband, the best stepdad on the planet. I'm so grateful. But when I was a single mom, they had youth leaders. They, you know, I didn't have to be with my kids all the time, but it was up to me to get them in front of those other people who would have an influence on their lives. And so share some of this. And as single parents, we got together at that church and we would do activities together. And I was so grateful for these single dads who would come along as well and just pour into my kids' lives for a Saturday. It was a huge, huge blessing to us. But we have to realize it's not 100% up to us, but we can't have parental fatigue. We have to show up. We have to discipline. We have to love. And then we have to trust God with those parts of our kids' lives that we no longer have control over.
Mm. And, you know, we mentioned before resources, and our friends at Focus on the Family have some great parenting resources that
yes.
you can find at their website, focusonthefamily.com. Some great books out there. Dr. Dobson's classic book, The New Dare to Discipline, will
right.
actually walk you through how to do these things and to, you know, be a loving parent but also a firm parent, which it's really that balance between love and limits that you have to strike. Because if you're too far on the love side, you may think, oh, I'm just the most loving parent in the world, but you're being permissive, really. And if you're
right.
too far on the limits side, then there's no grace and there's no mercy, and you're just, you know, you're ruling your kid with an iron fist. And as soon as they get out of the house, man, all bets are off, because they
right.
finally escaped from, you know, the prison there. You know, it's like Les Miserables. They're finally
yeah.
out of there, and now they go hog wild in college or in the working world because they've never learned how to internalize these values. They're just
right.
following orders because they know there's going to be a bad punishment for them if they don't.
Yeah, when they lose their parents' set of rules, they don't have their internal set of rules to guide them. And they lose their minds. I mean, how many times have we heard of these kids who were perfect kids all through high school, and they go off to college and they lose their minds? And so we, you know, it's a delicate dance. And parents, if you're getting it wrong right now, just know that there is time to course correct. There absolutely is. And even, you know, sometimes as the parent of an adult child, I have to say, you know, I blew it here, but here's how we live now. These are the guidelines. These are the ways I can help you, but I'm always going to love you. But here are the limits of what I can do in order to support you, because I want you to learn how to support yourself. I want you to learn your need for God and your need for guidance and your need for community.
Mm. Kathy, you've given us some great advice today. I just want to thank you so much for your heart, for your care for moms. I want to mention again your website. It's KathyLipp.com, KathyLipp, KathyLipp.com. Her book, I Need Some Help Here, Hope for When Your Kids Don't Go According to Plan. Kathy, may God continue to guide you and direct you in your writing and your speaking and your most important job as a mom.
Dr. Bill, thanks so much for your time and a great conversation.
Once again, this is the Faith Radio Network. Thank you for joining us today. You can find our entire schedule at myfaithradio.com. Coming up next, it's Neil Staven with the Saturday edition of Connecting Faith. Stick with us. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.